When you have a lot of IAPs, that means you get more buying from the big studios, which means that your ECPM goes up. So if I adjust the ECPM levels to, let's say, 42 in the States and 18 worldwide, which probably makes more sense, I think this game makes about $200,000 $210,000 a day currently in ad revenue, which means that that is about 75 to 80% of this game's revenue.
This is no bullshit gaming podcast, 2.5 gamers. Sharing actionable insights, dropping knowledge from our day-to-day user acquisition, game design, and ad monetization jobs. We are definitely not discussing the latest industry news, but having so much fun. Let's not forget this is a 4 a.m. conference discussion vibe, so let's not take it too seriously.
Let's fucking go, yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is, again, a very special episode. Maybe we should start actually recording some episodes where we are just three of us. But no, like, this is great. Why are you smiling? I mean, yes, I lost my voice.
What's the matter? What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? What's wrong?
I just lost my voice. It's fine.
Little teenager Maven? Mate?
I know. I'm growing up, finally. Let's start. My name is Matija Lančarić.
I'm Felix Proberg.
I'm Jakub Remiar.
And we are your hosts for today, and we have a very special... I can do ASMR. I can just whisper all the fucking time. It's gonna be fine as well, right? Okay, jokes aside, we're talking about We Are Warriors, and we have very special guest Sam from Lesmore. Fuck, this is gonna be crazy.
You know what, Matija? Why don't you sit this one out? It's just, you know, take a little rain check. I'll take it from here, my little teenage friend. Today we have a very special episode. We have one of the co-founders from Lesmore who's joining us to actually talk about their latest hybrid casual hit, We Are Warriors. And for those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, you're in the isolation booth, Matija. Okay. For those of you who are just joining us for the first time, we have a special 2.5 gamers definition of what we define as a hybrid casual title, which is what, Remo?
Yeah, which is that we look at stuff that's grossing more than 33k IAP dollars a day, which kind of, because otherwise we need to look at pretty much everything, which is around 1 million a month in IAP dollars only, not counting the ad revenue, because we don't see the ad revenue in the tools. So that's our kind of cutoff point where we kind of, we should look at this thing because like it's getting big. Because of course this is assuming that the revenue is much higher than 1 million a month altogether. Because
you suck at hosting. So please, Sam, can you give us a proper intro about yourself and the company you actually co-founded? Maybe that would be a better start. Hello, sure, special guest. You retard. Jesus Christ.
Teenage.
Sure, yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm Sam. I'm one of the co-founders at Lesmore. I've been in the industry, mobile games industry, for about like just over 5 years. I started my career working at Colibri Games on Idle Miner Tycoon.
Nice.
That's where I met Jerry and Josh, our co-founders. And then a year later, Josh and I left for Popcore to join the Hyper Casual Rush. We had a lot of success there, built and prototyped a lot of Hyper Casual games. So we sort of picked up the skill of prototyping a lot of games. And then we thought, hey, we could probably do this ourselves. So we came together and we called up Jerry as well, and he was available. And then we co-founded Lesmore, and then we started prototyping a bunch. And yeah, that's how Adventure and We Are Warriors happens. And now we're 17, fully remote. That's pretty much it.
So this company was founded in Berlin, right? Or am I...
It's headquartered in Germany, in Jerry's... family's house, and so but we never bothered really to you know, update that. So and at the time it was COVID, so we wanted an office, but remote was working, and that's how remote happened.
Yeah.
Are the just a question out of curiosity, are the Heinzel twins involved, because brothers involved, because you know, any company that gets founded close around Berlin has like a little help from them, or like a little bit of them in it, like
Popcore is an investor. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. Easy. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay. Fair enough. So we are talking about VR Warriors. Jakub, or who wants to start, or maybe Sam. How did you actually come up with this kind of idea? Because it's great. I mean, it's hard as fuck. It's really hard, really, really hard. Yeah. But like, how did you find this idea? It's very different from from Adventure.
So I mean, a lot of people think that we cloned it from Age of War. There was definitely a lot of inspiration, but actually, fun fact, it wasn't inspired by Age of War. The core gameplay, at least, wasn't. The core gameplay was mainly inspired by The Tower. I'm not sure if you guys played that, but this loop, basically, The Tower.
The Tower, okay.
Yeah. So you basically press battle, and then you try and beat this thing, and then you lose, and then you upgrade, and then you press battle again, and then basically this loop, right? And it was mainly inspired by that. But the only thing that was that the idea was lacking was sort of this content treadmill. And so we left it on pause because Adventure happened. And then later on, you know, we were playing Age of War, and we were like, oh, that would actually be the perfect content treadmill for this game. And then that's basically how it happened. But a lot of people ask us this. I think one key difference that we do when we prototype games, we don't do any market research, like zero market research.
Perfect.
That might be the reason why it seems so different to Adventure, because we don't let ourselves be inspired too much, because we really believe in innovative moment-to-moment gameplay. We believe in fresh mechanics to build mega hits in today's environment.
Are you playing the game, Jakub?
Yeah, so playing the game.
In the meantime.
Yeah, okay. So. Good.
I love this game because it's an absolute ad monetization Bismarck, like a juggernaut. Like, it's a beast. But I think, Remo, maybe you could start by just going through the game design stuff.
Yeah, I can go
if he talks shit at any time, just say bullshit.
Yeah, just say bullshit.
Yeah, feel free to. Or like, no comment. Yeah,
it happened with Pocket Champs.
Yeah, I got called.
He was talking about something. I was like, oh man, that's bullshit. So,
yeah, already, like, I need to kind of correct my assumption here, because I thought this was kind of coming from Adventure. Because the thing that I wanted to start with is that, of course, this is the second game for the company, which is like the hardest one, I would say, after the first hit. So, kudos to that. And I thought that like some of the principles of the game are actually coming from Adventure, because Adventure, which is briefly the description, would be like a cooking game on an idle simulation, where again the game is built on this premise of resetting the progression and starting from scratch in like a bigger kitchen, let's say. So I thought this kind of a premise was translated from to the VR Warriors game, not the other way around. So like, yeah, that's it. I'm wrong right there.
There you go.
Regarding the game itself, I would classify it as some kind of a strategy-based auto battle with idle RPG elements, because in the end, like, if you just like very, very simplify, this is kind of close to something like Clash Royale. Just again, very, very simplified, because again, we have the energy, we are spawning the units, but we are not choosing the lanes. We are just like, you know, throwing them into the battle, and they're kind of fighting themselves. So again, very kind of simplified strategy game. The core, where units are kind of auto-battling, is, again, as I said, simplified, but still it takes a little bit of tactic. For instance, I'm currently stuck here at end
you
of timeline.
You suck again.
No, you're not watching any ads, man. That's what you need to do.
Just wait a second. I'm at the end of timeline 2. Anyone of you are further?
I'm at timeline 2, a samurai age, so you're actually further than me.
Yeah, see, obviously. There you go. Yeah. Anyway.
So you're playing again. You're playing on the emulator. Again.
So what?
So cheating.
The game kind of goes through this loop of like different ages and eras where these kind of battles goes in. And if I understood correctly, the balance gets harder and harder as you go. Like, my best tactic, honestly, for like going through the ages was not really caring about unit upgrades and stuff that much, rather than like pick up a pace of farming currency fast enough to evolve into second age.
Yeah,
because
when
the ages meet, like, yeah, it's kind of a civilization battle where the more advanced technological age just always steamrolls over the like the current age, and then you can continue.
It took me a while when I understood, like, okay, well, I need to evolve to a different era just to steamroll over my opponent, actually.
Yeah, but then, like, for instance, here, the game, the let's say, not the tower defense, but like the scripted gameplay a little bit, where the units are actually coming in waves. And you see these waves like this one, which like, how did I deal with
Yeah, it's you're fucked, team. Man. Yeah, you can't beat that.
So, yeah, at some point, and this is really hard because I cannot really evolve here in this point of the game. Like, I just need to beat those. Like, there's no other way to kind of continue into the other timeline. So it takes a little bit of skill, not just like, you know, upgrading stuff, and like you need to time these things and pretty much create some kind of a traffic jam of units to accumulate enough power to steamroll into the base. And like, yeah, I know Sam is smiling, I guess. So that's what people are kind of doing these days. But yeah, it's very hard, and in the end, is a lot of skill based involved at like the transitions between the ages. But enough of the core gameplay. Regarding the progression, there's actually a little bit of like idle progression sprinkled there from games like Golden Goblins or Adventure Communist, where we have these cards that are put behind gacha, and the cards are pretty much being evolved by themselves. You don't really use even soft currency to upgrade those, just no. Like shards of the cards, typically Clash Royale shard gacha is there. They upgrade and they just give you two vectors. One is unit health and unit damage.
Vectors and systems.
Two vectors. Exactly.
And that's it. Which again increases your power in your main battle all around and like goes with you throughout the era. Like this is the permanent part that's kind of is the thing that's driving your progression, because everything else, like if I move here, it resets. It resets. So again, if I move into another era or timeline, whatever, I again need to buy the second unit, the third unit, upgrade food production. Base health, I think, is permanent throughout the timeline, but again resets back at the time start of the timeline. So that's there. On the other hand, there's this kind of dungeons secondary game mode that unlocks at some point, where if I understand correctly, these are basically puzzles, because you're not upgrading anything. There's a fixed number of enemies going against you, and you just need to somehow kind of solve the puzzle and pick the right units at the right time with limited budget that the game gives you, and that's it.
Oh yeah, well, no, I wouldn't say puzzles. I would say it's just a damage check, right?
So yeah. But is this affected by your like card progression?
Cards, yeah.
Okay, so it's a damage check. Okay, definitely then not a puzzle. Because I thought like, yeah, because there's like no upgrading involved here that like maybe I would need to kind of do some kind of thing. But yeah, you're right. So this is a damage check then, which unlocks at the start of timeline 2. Yeah, which I cannot just go around 1.8, failing miserably there. And then there's, I guess, is another version of it at timeline 7 and timeline 15. That's my guess here. And then...
Sam? Like, I'm so far away. Like, where are the other two timeline dungeons? So
timeline seven is like stories where we sort of... for example, the Battle of Rome or Spartan 300 versus a million. Or cops versus gangsters. And they give you red potions for the rune tree. And then timeline 15 is against bosses like Godzilla and... this like spider monster and a yeti, and they give you golden keys that give you items for your hero that you unlock later.
Godzilla with an S though, right?
So the if I understand correctly, the features you are talking about are unlocked here in timeline 3, 7, 15 that we just cannot see here. Yeah, which is just I can't even imagine how far it is in like player time.
Man, exactly.
Like, I've been playing this game very feverishly, I would say, throughout last week, and just made it at the end of the timeline too, which, isn't that far to begin with. But yeah, it seems like the progression is very, very steep. And the interesting part for me is that it's ludicrously hard to begin with from the start.
It's so like slow pacing in the start. Like it takes forever.
It's like it like reminds me of the Chinese game that was trending on WeChat that we had here before, the Sheep game, which was like a tile matching game something. That the first level was so hard that like whole WeChat was talking about it. This was also driving its virality. So that's my guess. This has something to do with the same here, that like it's so hard that like, you know, like the Flappy Bird thing. Like it was so hard that people are playing because it's so hard. So that's my
Let
guess.
Is that Remo. I want to hear Remo.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we played this one game once. I don't know what it was called, but it was super hard to progress. But I think the main reason here is that I think the novelty sort of wears off really quickly in terms of seeing the new eras, right? So we want to sort of squeeze that novelty as much as possible. Because by the time you get to sort of like timeline 3 and timeline 4, you don't really see errors anymore, and you start to just want to sort of like get higher damage numbers, and you realize that it's all of a reskin. So we want to sort of like lengthen that first part of the treadmill as much as possible. But yeah, look, I mean, we need to run A/B tests. I don't know. Maybe making it faster is actually better.
Yeah, I actually started playing this game in December, but it was so hard. I was like, fuck, I can't play this game. I was like, and then we started having this discussion about us being on the PGC panel, and so I picked it up again. I was like, oh fuck, it's still super hard. It's like, fuck. And then I was like, oh my god, it's growing so fast. I need to push myself. I really need to. And I started playing, and it's like, oh my god, it's still hard. But now I know like how I actually play this game. It's like now I know after 2 months.
Yeah, it's actually like very hard. But again, don't get me wrong. My guess is that this is one of the things that's driving.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that's wrong.
Doesn't mean that's wrong. Yeah. It's just like very specific or unique. Because again, same principle with that same game that we were talking about, cheaper sheep game. Like it was like having ludicrously high numbers in China because everybody was talking about it. And my guess is that, like, I've seen like 3 copies already, which is like exactly the same game on the stores, like with a guy running on the Triceratops or whatever was the dinosaur. Same color, same image, something, something. So I guess people are kind of jumping on it, as I've seen like a lot of clones of Adventure when you scale that one. So I guess that's expected. But regarding the like overall state of the game, like it seems even like, to my point, seems very simplistic what it is, how it is designed in order what it already achieved. Because even if I go to the store, it's literally very rudimentary. So there's like 2 ads per day that you can get like 2 free rolls on the gacha basically here. Yeah. Then there's just basic anchored prices for the gems. And that's it. There's nothing really to it. You can even buy soft currency, if I understand correctly, in these kind of loops of eras. So the only way to kind of buy something and the overall IP revenue of the game is just driven by people purchasing the anchor prices for the general currency, and then they throw it all into the gacha. Or correct me if I'm wrong here.
There is the 1.5x game speed. I don't know which version this is, but I don't know why you can't see it. But
oh, you mean like I'm in an unfortunate A/B test? Yeah, thank you.
No, I think you're just not updated. You haven't updated the game, but you can get
the
1.5x game speed. You can purchase that because you usually watch an ad to get that for a few minutes, and then you purchase that, and that's a permanent purchase. And then once when the events are running, there are also event offers.
I haven't seen any events like.
Yeah, well, when are the events running?
Yeah, where are they running?
So again, if you're updated, it should tell you that you unlock it on timeline 3. I'm not sure which version you're on.
Okay.
If you go on settings and then click write us, it should tell you. It should open, and then it should tell you in your second screen.
Cheating because he's on an emulator. That's cheating. Fine. Exactly. Don't care about him.
it should work on PC, but if it doesn't, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
anyway, but again, like what I'm trying to say that it's amazing with what the game achieved already with such an like simplistic feature set in a way that like just like even though like, okay, let's assume that like events are also driving the revenue as they should, because I see kind of spiky revenue in the chart. So I guess they are driving the revenue spike.
And yeah, you should just update the game. I updated the game and I see game speed forever 10 euros.
Ah, okay. Okay. So I'll do that in the meantime, hopefully.
I mean, it's true. It is only that offer. Look, I mean, in the past, so we at Lesmo, we never like to do things because everybody else is doing them. Mm-hmm. We only do things when we truly understand why. So we've never understood bombarding the player with a lot of offers or a lot of different ways to purchase the same thing. We tried an A/B test once on Adventure. We didn't see an uplift. And so we just never really visited again. And we truly believe in the whole concept of 80-20. We believe that 80% of what drives the results of We Are Warriors comes from 20% of its design. Mm-hmm. We truly believe this. So that's mainly why you don't see that many offers. But I'm not saying that this is the correct way of doing it, but we want to first understand truly.
Completely valid opinion.
No, because obviously we are all not always right. You just like kind of thinking about like different things and angles about like, okay, why is this working or not? But by the way, like those, if you go back, Jakub, those two, it's like, what? I just like accidentally saw like I can actually switch between eras. I was like, what? I didn't even see that in there and until this morning. I was like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, you can.
Well, now I know.
Because there's a timeline that you can even go check.
Yeah, yeah.
How many people built this game and how long did it take?
So the initial prototype was two people and then we built it with three people. So two people took 2 weeks for the initial release and then three people took us about 4 or 5 months to get to the state and then we launched.
4 or 5 months, okay. Okay. So we are approaching that hybrid kind of a production cycle here.
Yeah.
No.
Rima, can you show the revenue as well?
Let me do that. So regarding the numbers that we see, again, you can say what you think.
We need to kind of use our sadness multiplier for sure.
Yeah.
It's quite new and Sam is smiling all the fucking time, so there is something.
He's smiling because it's probably off. He's like, mate, I need 2x that, and it's going to be closer. So that smile says it all, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, so again, the spikes here, as I was telling, and what Sam was mentioning, those are probably the events that are driving the revenue spikes here. We see something in vicinity of like 45k a day on average, let's say, spiking.
In-app purchases only.
Yeah, in-app purchases only. Regarding downloads is of course a different story. Something like yesterday, this says 200k downloads a day. But again, sadness multipliers.
Usually are correct.
Yeah, downloads are more correct, definitely. But like, yeah, so pretty much the trend line is obvious here. Like you can see that it's scaling still higher, and revenue on IAP side is kind of, I would say, stable or stabilized. But again, we don't see the ad revenue here. So
you should go to retention right away because wild numbers. It says like day one is like 55%. And it's usually here, it's what, overestimated?
In Sensor
Tower, yes.
I think in all platforms it's a little bit overestimated.
But even like this, like 58 on day one, it's quite
so 68,
solid.
58% day one, 15% day seven, 5% day 30, and 5% day 60.
And then there's day, there's the thing, like day 90 is like 4.8 or something, 4.5.
So pretty much whoever stays in day 30 stays forever. There's like a flat line.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't think the cohort there is big enough, right? We started scaling in December, so
That's true, but still.
But it's not that far off, actually.
Nice.
So day one is a bit overestimated, but it's not that far off.
Man, that's amazing.
let's go to Admon because Bismarck, like I said. So I started playing this game on the way to Games Forum. What is that? 2 weeks ago now, and I was playing it for the first time without ads, like on airplane mode. And I was just sitting there for 2 hours on the plane. I'm like, a stupid a fucking game. Like, you can't do anything. No, it's like the worst game ever. Then I turned off flight mode. And wow, it's an ad revenue juggernaut. Because, like, ladies and gentlemen, this game makes at least 6 digits per day in ad revenue. There's no way it makes less. How much, though? Let's go down and have a look later.
Well, that's the Excel sheet.
But so we've covered all hybrid casual games on this podcast that have hit Jakob's famous threshold. And basically, there's two main design schools for ad placement design in hybrid casual. There's like Voodoo and Say Games method, which is banners, interstitials, and rewarded. And also like Alien Invasion Crazy Labs, which uses only rewarded ads. And now We Are Warriors also only shows rewarded ads. In We Are Warriors, these are the ad placements. So two daily rewarded ad placements for Gem.
Can you show them?
I can.
Ideally.
On the core loop in the main core gameplay, there is a 1.5x time for 5 minutes for a rewarded ad. There's two.
There's no point, Jakob Screecher. He hasn't updated his game.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, exactly.
We'll get to the other. Shame. Shame.
Like half of the stuff Felix is mentioning.
Yeah, you're
even
talking.
On
yeah, he's not there. No,
game
oh
designers never appreciate ad revenue, man. Like they always underestimate it. But yeah. All right, there's a zombie rush in the dungeon, which is unlocked after timeline one. So you can do two free tries a day and then two more with rewarded ads. And then after every battle, you have double coins.
Yes.
And then, which is probably the best performing one, is at the start of the battle every day with a two rewarded limit cap is meat, basically. And that's like what's basically used, I guess, to progress people, because with this you can actually beat the other character. So this must have really good.
You have a better chance.
Yeah. Really? Like for me, the best one is like here in the shop where you can have two gacha pools.
Let's ask Sam, what's the best performing rewarded ad placement here out of these ones? I think it's definitely that free meat, right?
I have absolutely no idea.
That's a perfect answer. Yes. There you go.
God, no, no, no. But like, slapped a bunch of rewarded videos where we would want a reward and then let's release it and see what happens.
Is there any reasoning why you had it as a cap for two per day though? Because that's the one that struck out to me as the most odd one, I would say. Because normal
piece of Felix.
Yeah, would usually try to stack that one as much as possible. But yeah.
Well, the initial thought is that we didn't want watching ads to be the main strategy to progress in the game, so we tried to put as many caps as possible, and then hopefully the in-app purchases kicks in. But yeah, I know that the 2x at the end of each battle is capped.
Yeah,
we want to cap that as well. We're thinking about capping that. But yeah, that's the main reason. Because if you can watch an ad for meat every battle, then you're going to watch an ad every single battle.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you might churn. You might make more money in the beginning, but then you might churn quicker there.
Yeah. So the cap is used to push people to make an IAP, basically.
No, just stay with the game a little bit longer because then you have different, like multiple sessions during the day, and then you want to come back next day because then you have new two like placements.
Yeah, like keep in mind that this is more like hybrid paradigm here. Like even though the game definitely doesn't make it's not
50-50.
Not even 40% of overall daily revenue in IAPs. That's my guess. Like it's not even hitting that. It's still
way off.
It's still the philosophy that like you want to have long-term progression. That's why the day 90 is 5%. So you don't really want to overspam people with ads. Especially make them feel that they're mandatory. That's the big difference. Mm-hmm. That you shouldn't make them feel that they're mandatory.
By the way, just a disclaimer, like, so Jakob did some consultancy thing for us for Adventure a few months ago. We basically took all of his advice and applied it to We Are Warriors.
Nice.
So We Are Warriors sucks. you know who to blame, right? You know who to blame. So, but if it works, if it's nice, which it's looking like it has some potential long term, then Jakob is your guy. So if Jakob roasts the game, you're roasting yourself.
Sam told me that before the PGC or discussion or afterwards, like, hey, you know, like we worked with Jakob and like we kind of like took all these advice, but don't tell him.
So just wondering, like when you built the game, did you decide just to use rewarded only or did you actually think about interstitials and banners as well, or were you just, no, we're going to do the alien invasion way?
I mean, the end game is to be in our purchases only for less more, so we want to sort of like slowly get there. But yeah, I mean, the main thinking is, okay, if we want to keep players playing for long, probably we don't want interstitials. But yeah, I mean, we didn't think about it too much. We just said, okay, let's first try rewarded only. And if we break even, then we break even. And that's what happened.
Nice.
Cool.
You will add some interstitials along the way in the future.
Though there is a lot of low-hanging fruits. I mean, don't get me wrong. Definitely a lot of opportunities to sort of user segment and show users that aren't watching any rewarded or aren't making any in-app purchases some interstitials or even banners later on. But yeah, I mean, the team is small. We want to sort of like focus on the big wins and
it makes like the biggest impact, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, although you could argue that user segmentation also has a big impact, but we'll see. Our live operation. So Lessmore is a new games company, right? We're good at building new games, building innovative moment-to-moment gameplay. This is what we are good at. And so publishing operations is still very dirty, right? We're still trying to sort of like be more sophisticated, professionalize on that front, but yeah,
you learn,
don't want to get too distracted.
Yeah, you learn as you go. Like that's the beauty part of the game development.
So there's no segmentations here, even for rewarded. Like if you're a user in Malaysia, you still see the same amount of rewarded opportunities compared to the US.
Most probably, yes. I didn't know that you should use a segment based on country, but no, we don't.
You can, different ways you can do it, right? But yeah, there's plenty of ways to do it. That's one of the ways. You can also base it on how many like ads they watched historically, and then show them ones that only watch ads without making IEPs more rewarded ad placements.
You know, he's pitching himself because you already said you work with Jakub, so I was like, oh, well, maybe you, if you
go for the Michael Bublé double. Anyway, let's go for the estimations here, because this game is an ad juggernaut. Active user base on Sensor Tower is 830,000 DAO in the last 30 days. IAP revenue, like we said, over 1 million. I think the ad viewer rate for the rewarded ads is 79%. Why do I think that? Because that's the highest I've ever seen. And I think this is probably around the same level. So just about 80% of users that play this game, I would say, probably watch a rewarded ad.
So your guess it's 79% because 79% is the highest that you've
ever seen. I've never seen anything higher than that. From any ad monetized game I've managed in the last.
Well, that's what you're basing it off of.
I've never seen higher, but I think it's the highest. Like this thing, I've never seen a higher for some reason. So yeah, it's the highest.
It's 81%.
So close.
That is great.
Yeah, not bad, Felix. Not bad.
Pretty close.
All right, cool. All right, so I've never seen pretty much a rewarded imp DAO higher than 19, but I would say that's a bit too high for this. So I probably think it's around 14 or 15. Meaning that currently this game would make about 150K a day in ad revenue, or 73% of total revenue. However, this game has something called IAPs as well, right? So we need to handicap the ECPM at jack that ECPM level up, because when you have a lot of IAPs, that means you get more buying from the big studios, which means that your ECPM goes up. So if I adjust the ECPM levels to, let's say, 42 in the States and 18 worldwide, which probably makes some more sense. I think this game makes about $210,000 a day currently in ad revenue, which means that that is about 75 to 80% of this game's revenue is ad revenue.
And there is pause. There's pause. Don't worry, you don't need to just blink twice if he's right, or just once if he's like totally wrong, because we had this discussion when we discussed, I think, Legend of Slime. He was like, oh my God, this is so amazing, like 70% ads, 30% IIPs. And then I was talking to the team and it's like, oh man, it's like the other way around, actually.
Yeah. So, but I don't think I'm wrong this time.
I'm just going to say that it's a really good guess. That's what I'm going to say.
Nice.
It's a really good
guess.
That's
good, because if it was wrong, then it would be like, yeah.
Nice. In that case, oh my God, like my estimations on spend are going to be very interesting as well. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, well, it's quite incredible. Like, this is an absolute ad juggernaut. And what makes it so good is the fact that you also have IAPs. So for those who don't know, that means you get higher ECPMs from all the SDK networks. So if SDK network sees a large user base of people that make purchases, they will notice that and they will bid higher for that audience, because it shows a willingness to purchase. So that means that PlayerX, Royal Match, all these guys will start spending quite heavily to get access
and
to these users.
And I see Sea of Conquest all the fucking time. There's like, I guess,
yeah,
like
Sea of Conquest and Top Heroes I see all the time.
Top Heroes and then World of Tanks. Blitz, like these three games all day long will repeat.
Yeah.
Oh, which are definitely IIP based games.
Did you guys plan any of this, or like, how do you manage your ad mod? Like, did you like? It's just, it's so big. It's so big for one title.
What do you mean plan? Like what do you mean?
Just for context, like one of the biggest publishers, like on a good day, like a Voodoo, sometimes they make $1 million a day, right? So one title that you guys have is like 20% of one of the biggest publishers in the world across a whole portfolio.
I don't know. It's probably luck, right? Most of it is luck. So. But yeah, no, we just focus on good games, and we believe that everything else will follow.
You have skills, Jakub.
Yeah, I see.
Finally, I something right.
Yeah, Jakub's feedback carried. We are ours. You can ask Jakub.
Cool.
Nice. Very good.
All right, Matthew, we want to hear.
Jakub is loving this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Matti, we want to hear your UA predictions that are already off by a factor of 2.
No, it's not. They're not off, actually.
By the way, sorry. Yeah. Do I get this right? These are the events here. Like, I have the latest build then.
No, you don't.
Yeah, but the latest one unlocks in timeline 3. Sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you don't have the latest build because you don't have the speed button there. Yeah, right, so I was like, just stop.
Yeah.
Fucking around. Ah, it's fine. No, I was actually you can play. I'm just kind of looking through some Sensor Tower data because I was looking into the split by like paid versus organic, and it says like it's 30% organic downloads and then 60% paid, which kind of makes sense. And also from the discussion we had in London for PGC, and I was also looking into like different like session durations and session counts as well, and says like average sessions like 5 every sessions per day, which is interesting number. It's quite high. I think like Jakub, you said that even like Supercell is kind of trying to get 5-6 sessions per day.
Yep. That's the rumor I heard. That
just to like balance benchmark. Just to balance like the retention, and then just kind of split the sessions into smaller sessions or shorter sessions than during the day. This guy's like, okay, interesting. But it says it's like more than like 1 minute or 3 minutes long sessions. And if I'm kind of thinking about like how I played, it was more like, 4 sessions, 5 sessions per day, few battles, and then watched few ads and then just disappeared. And then waited to next day just to get the two meet placements. But anyway, let me share this first. Which is, Jakub, if you can fuck off from the sharing, thank you. That would be amazing. Because then we have, we have the downloads here. So this is interesting. So when I was looking at downloads, so you have already like 10 million downloads. Jesus Christ, that's amazing. I mean, you have 20.
That's entire Sweden. Like, that's my country, man.
Yeah.
That's it's like times my country.
Yeah, twice Slovakia. But yeah, US obviously the biggest one, but then there's South Korea, which is, I mean, it makes sense in for this type of game. And then we have Germany, UK, France, Canada, Australia, and then the rest. And it's still
South Korea
kind of
only because South Korea only because Adventure was cloned. Our biggest Adventure clone is a South Korean game. So this time we said let's
go big in South Korea.
Let's go nice. Ham in South Korea.
That's amazing.
I don't even know if South Korea is profitable, honestly.
Vengeance.
Oh my god.
That happened again.
Jeez, that's brilliant. Nice. Nice. It looks like it's like half a million downloads and all like 200,000 IIPs. And I'm pretty sure that this is way bigger. Felix mentioned. But then what's interesting is actually the like 50-50 kind of split on the, not revenues, but downloads at least. Here it says you're bigger on Android than iOS. That's surprising, to be honest. I'm not sure like why, but I would say I would kind of think this works quite well on iOS as well. I mean, now it's kind of even, but it was more on Android rather than just iOS. It's just like an interesting fact. But what's most interesting is kind of the creative.
Also true, by the way. It installs bigger on Android. or revenue big on Android?
Revenue big on Android. And then we all know we have downloads free. Yeah, well, downloads are like 3.2 million for January for Android, and then 1.6 million on iOS.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
On iOS is bigger.
Okay. So it's okay. Sadness multiplier on downloads as well. Good to know. Yeah, because I was like, okay, man, like this is 100% working really well.
Oh, for the downloads, I'm not sure, but for revenue, iOS is higher than Android.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes total sense. And I was looking into the all kind of networks in here. I mean, there are like some bullshit networks.
You're 100% mediating on Macs, right?
Macs.
Like,
oh my god!
I smell that a mile away when you see the ads, right? It's 100% Macs.
But
yeah,
it's like I looked at the biggest network. Is guess what? Uploading all the list is just uploading there. Yeah, surprise, surprise. I mean, it makes all the sense because of the ads ROAS and then IIP ROAS. And if you're running blended ROAS and then some IIP campaigns as well, it's a no-brainer. And then
we're using their mediation, so they have all the data. So.
Yeah, exactly. So that was like,
do you have Adam's WhatsApp?
not yet. But if they're gonna grow like this as you go, then 100%. Like, hello, come. Well, I'm pretty sure you got the invites to Dubai event or what? Like, what Arzani mentioned, like there's this like top secret Dubai event for like few companies that they're kind of growing. But anyway,
Now we're upset.
Yeah.
Now,
we keep wondering why AppLovin won't let the communications team at AppLovin won't let anyone from AppLovin come on the podcast. We've invited them 4 times, and every time it never works.
Well, maybe because you pissed them out when we were starting like a year and a half ago. So
also they said we swear too much. Apparently,
that's true.
Yeah. Shit.
Maybe think about it. It's very true. Anyway.
Really? I would have thought AppLovin would be fine with profanity.
If you look at all the end cards and the ads you show in the game. But I literally saw like so many Unity kind of ads. Very few AppLovin kind of end cards. So I was really confused. If it's level play, or Max.
Oh, yeah, but shout out to AppLovin, by the way.
Of course, they're good friends of ours. Some people also ask how much money we get from AppLovin just to say good things about them, and it's like, well, if it works, it works. It's very easy. It's very easy. But anyway, so we had like all the channels, like everything. Felix mentioned like 250-ish. A day, then yes, you need a lot of money to a lot of UA channels to spend some money on to get that money back. But I'm just thinking about what is the actual payback period, because the day 90 is quite strong, and we see big growth in terms of the revenues as well. So I would assume you are kind of front loaded a lot of spend and then maybe just decreased something, but. If I need to guess, I would guess you are spending something around 150K per day-ish. Maybe on some days close to 200, but you don't need to comment on that. But it's like the thing, what I'm trying to think about is the payback period. If it's like 90 days or if it's longer than that or if it's actually shorter. Because if the retention profile looked like this, then I would say maybe 90 days, maybe 60 days now, because the numbers are looking better from the start. And even maybe the golden cohort looks like 45-ish kind of. But I mean, what do I know? Like, that's my guess. That's my assumption.
UA spend, you're pretty close. Break even, you're way off.
Okay. It's shorter.
I don't know.
Would it take longer for Mashe's voice to heal than for you guys to get paid back, or would it take shorter time?
I mean, in the beginning, the thing is, it's golden cohorts right now, right? So it's still slowly being pushed back. But if it's not 90 days, then it's definitely not 180 days, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, of course. That'll be, I mean, quite long, but still, you need to get that money back so you can actually spend it, and then you're waiting like 45 days to get that money from iOS and then Google. So okay.
Ad revenue pays back quicker though, mate. You got to remember that 30 days usually, especially at this scale, they're getting paid back in 30 days.
Oh, okay.
30 days.
All right.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Okay. But okay then. In terms of the creatives, this is brilliant, and I will show you the PGC kind of slides that we had, because there are some interesting creatives. You can talk about it, but this is, I mean, this is the kind of dungeon you're talking about, right? This is, yep. I love it. Oops.
Minus the plane. The plane is fake.
Obviously. Which is, I mean,
it could be real.
It could be real, right?
Yeah.
We could add it.
Yeah.
It's easy to add, but that's fake.
There you go. Like, this is very, very. I'm going to repeat myself because you were not at the PGC discussion. I love these, like, one versus hundreds of warriors, because this is exactly the same here, right? Just one versus.
That's real. That's 100% real. That's in the game.
Well, and it's like, the spawn rate's probably not that real.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so again, we are coming back to altered gameplay.
Altered gameplay, yeah.
But like, this is great because you have all these like different hooks as well. And one sec.
Just the usual.
That's so brutal.
Clear. For those of you just listening, it's just a bunch of soldiers shooting a bunch of Stone Age people.
Yeah,
mercilessly.
Like, with clubs.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Like, it's like, it's perfect. Like, I love this. It's amazing. And like, you have all these like different kind of variations, and obviously I see this kind of South Korean, right? So
no.
I mean,
South Korean.
It's not South Korean, it's not Korean? Okay.
It is South Korean.
Okay, good.
I need to turn that down.
Okay, so what do we have here? I think the most interesting part is, well, I know this is wrong, and because when I was looking into this, I was looking into this yesterday, and it's like one creative, or yeah, this one, which is something that we already showed.
Modern versus Stone Age.
But we have the TikTok voice, at least. I mean, this is quite slow, honestly. But what do I know? And again, the same thing. But if we look at the January over here, then we have like a few different things. And we actually had this discussion about TikTok, like launching games on TikTok exclusively, right? So maybe you can talk about that a little bit, Sam. Like, what was the TikTok creative challenge?
We told TikTok what I just told you, that we wanted to scale on South Korea and Japan aggressively. Yeah. So they said, hey, let us localize your creators. And then they localize our creators.
Because this is usually like the TikTok creative challenge is used in US mainly. When we were looking into Wizard, well, what was it like? Doodle Magic, Wizards versus Slime. It was only in US.
Mute that, please.
Yeah, the video is a bit too is louder than your voice.
Yeah, as usual.
No, I've not seen that.
I mean, it's like a month ago.
Oh, that looks great.
That was amazing, yeah.
Wow,
it's perfect.
And like, I mean, this is really altered gameplay because you have people
people standing
from the
next. It's brilliant. I love this.
I have a rookie admon question. How much budget do you have to have before TikTok or any other company starts making you localize creatives? Like,
that's a very rookie question. No idea. So
we thought they provided that support.
Exactly. No, it's exactly like that. So these are TikTok creative challenge videos. So you basically, I mean, it's most probably this Korean version is in beta, or you need to have a connection in TikTok. But if you said, like, look, you want to really scale in Japan and South Korea, then they kind of found these these different creators. But it's kind of now open to everybody, and you can just join the TikTok Creative Challenge. You just put in, like, a brief in what you want to see. You can go wild and say, look, do whatever you want. And it's just 5, 10, or 20 new videos per week you can get from TikTok Creative Challenge.
Do I get that right, that these people, like the TikTok influencers, whatever?
Yes, those are TikTok creators.
They are pretty
creators.
Much
yes,
just creative agencies?
Yes, yeah.
But like,
not real.
Is it their full-time job to just make games creatives?
Not games creative. It's just like they're big on TikTok. So they're like, let's call it creators or the influencers, whatever you just said. This is just like, you know, they're getting extra money to actually produce these creatives. Even we could do that if we were big in, on TikTok, which almost, we are almost there.
What, our 6 followers on TikTok?
No, just 400 something, which is, I mean, it's not 6. It's
we're
fine.
Getting there. No worries.
We're getting there. Yeah, don't worry. We're getting there for sure. I mean, then we have the good old kind of first meta as here. Because I saw a few. I mean, these are these. We saw these. We saw all of these as well. And then
it's pretty kind of a, let's say, true. Like, not that much fakeness.
I mean, it's, yeah, just altered. That's it.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say altered. Most of it is just pretty much right taken from the game. At some point,
yeah.
Like, there's maybe an airplane icon or whatever. But
yeah. Like, I like, yeah, the pace of the of
please
the
mute that much. Please mute that.
Yeah, fuck. Why? I mean, come on.
Because I guess the sound is not going into your earphones.
I mean, it is. It's just my volume is quite low.
You're such a teenager today. You're such a teenager today.
Again, you can hear the kind of TikTok voice. Which
AI?
Is nice. Yeah, pretty much. So, how big is your creative team, Sam? If you can say that. Now to try
yourself. 3.
3 people. Fuck. Okay.
And I also help sometimes. I make creative sometimes as well.
Okay, man. Like, for that kind of spend, that's an interesting number. To be honest.
It's less more. That's more, baby.
Yes, okay.
That's more, baby.
Nice. All right.
Sounds like exactly the same philosophy as Small Giant Games when they got started, right? You used to get a really good team together and then,
But
you can do less with more.
Yeah, do you work with a lot of external partners as well? Or
yes.
Okay, there you go. Okay, nice. Oh, that's fair. That's fair. And I like this. Oops, sorry. Really love this. It's like the same thing all over again.
Just the whole philosophy is just thrown out the window.
less with more consultants.
Yeah, yeah. Guys, exactly. That makes sense.
Less more. You work with consultants? Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the soundbite.
And look. So I will check like all of these and you will see immediately. Okay, so it's Uplovin, then some Unity over here, but like basically everything is Uplovin since like mid-January, which I think it's like exactly the time when you start scaling, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, fair.
We started scaling late November, beginning of December, but with Uplovin, it was starting January.
Okay. And then there was this explosive growth kind of, that's what we saw. At least. Yeah. Right, but yeah, you have playables, which is great, and like multiple of them, it actually makes sense because everything is working nicely. Yeah, I mean, this is great. I might kind of maybe when we kind of discuss this would call a lack of creative depth a little bit. So it's like all these like concepts look exactly the same. But I mean, if you think about the whole team structure and everything, it kind of makes sense. But there is also like this important thing that I wanted to show you, which is connected to our actually panel discussion. So I'm going to stop sharing this and then stop sharing.
But isn't this still working? Like, I guess like how it should, because, you know, look, even though hyper casual is that, we still need to preserve the hyper casual creatives.
Yes.
Know, look, feel, CPI, low cost and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, look, all of these, like, I mean, we saw this, right? But these are some numbers that we showed on the screen, which is like downloads, organic downloads. So can you talk a little bit more about this, like organic downloads? Because I think that's what you mentioned on the PGC kind of panel discussion. That was really, really interesting.
That was the exclusive launch with TikTok. And with TikTok, because they're good at getting a lot of users talking about your game quickly, especially when you grow aggressively, because, you know, people will start to comment on creatives and there's a discussion and you know, people start to share. There was a huge organic uplift in the beginning. And then as soon as we exited out of the exclusive and went with all the other networks with App Lovin, we found that we saw another huge explosion in growth. So. But that's not true anymore. It's not 50% split anymore.
Yeah,
organics and paid.
Yeah, I think I saw like the 30% organics and then like 70% it's kind of paid.
Yeah, I think this is exactly the point I was saying at the beginning, that it perfectly plays into the philosophy of like the game being very hard, like similar to Flappy Bird, and everybody trying to, you know, try their own luck at it, because like if it's so hard, like why shouldn't I try it? Rather than being kind of more smoother in the beginning, it's kind of, you know, just another average game, which helps you differentiate from all the other games currently in the crowd.
Yeah, then we have
that's the idea, at least on paper, but we also didn't run any A/B tests on the difficulty, which we're planning on doing. So, because that's the number one feedback we're getting, that, oh, it's too slow, and the majority of 1 stars and 2 stars on the app stores.
So you blindfolded yourself, shot an arrow, and hit a bullseye.
Yeah, pretty much.
Absolutely.
With it. I love it. Honestly, love like it. It's perfect. No, seriously. Like,
try kudos. Some segmentation. That's all I can say from Admon. But yeah.
I would say just like continue with like iteration speed that you're getting, like with that, what you said, that 80-20, like think like it's kind of, yeah, you see it. And like in hybrids, like I wouldn't go even like whatever, get bogged down into this like fine tuning optimization, something like, for now, I would say like more content is needed. But again, 80-20 is like the way to go. You've proven it like 2 times already now with 2 games. So that was the hardest point, I guess. Kudos to that.
Yeah, I love the mass battles, kind of one versus hordes videos. Those are my favorite. And if you then like kind of build it around some like funny situations or humor, that's even like gonna double down on the good grade numbers and like decrease the CPI even more. And like I really like the whole art style and how it looks like. It's really simplified stuff, and like that exactly that's what works, kind of. The only thing I would kind of, which I think would work better, is just low poly. But this is amazing. This is perfect.
Low poly 3D, you mean?
Yeah. You could try that in the creatives, actually. We saw a few games that are actually not low poly, but they are
low poly creatives.
They have low poly creatives, yeah. Any comments?
Any comments?
Yeah.
Where you guys usually rate? Where are the ratings?
Oh man, there you go. Oh, you're a listener.
You abandoned the ratings, or what?
No, we can do the ratings. No.
It was like, you can go with your comments first, and then we can.
Then we go. Then we rate.
As always, I mean, great insights. It's really nice to see pros like you guys analyze the game, especially live. This is also why I was smiling throughout the whole podcast. It wasn't because you guys were saying wrong things. It was just I was enjoying it. It was nice, and I was learning a lot. And thanks for having us.
Trying to get those tens.
Let me start the chopping block.
Jeez. Well, just be careful, because you are now maybe trying to shoot yourself in the foot. So
You designed it. You designed it, bro. You
designed it. I didn't know bribery would be.
Yeah. So my guess is like I would like overall I would say 8 out of 10. And why 8 and not 10, or like what are the things that I would do, is that I would do a little bit more robust economy, which my guess is not done there, because robust economy means more content to kind of put that economy on, which the theme is because it's small, like it's less is more. So I guess it's kind of coming, and because of just the iteration process of it, but I would definitely kind of enlarge it a little bit and speed up the progression. Like, yeah, it's definitely worth an A-B test.
The easiest A-B test, I think, is ad placement for the meat. Four times a day.
Not even an ad placement. What I would do is like try different timelines of feature unfolding. So let's say, for instance, the skills and like the things that you have there, like later down the line, my guess is that just like few percent of users ever saw them. So probably try like an A-B test that kind of speeds up the progression a little bit, because usually how this works is that you kind of get your new toy, you play with your new toy, then your attention budget again stabilizes because you don't, you know, learn to play with it. And then you throw in another toy and like, here's your new feature, play with it again. And then, you know, how Survivor IO does it, for instance, or like these other hybrids.
Candy Crush, like introduces new boosters. Like
speeding up the progression a little bit, because my guess is that the I've seen it all moment kind of comes too fast. Where like there are still features, don't get me wrong. It's just they're kind of so locked away behind like the progression. So I would kind of speed it up. And then again, yeah, I know, Sam, you said exactly like the opposite opinion, but I would still slap some offers on top of this. Like gacha, whatever, something, starter pack progression, timeline progression offers. Just like slap progression offers when you move from timeline to timeline. So like you achieve this offer because it's just like progression offer, and then bam, put it there. That's like my.
Have you seen uplifts with offers before?
Ooh, like that of was course. Like Battle Legion was like all offers. Basically, 90% of the revenue was offers.
Definitely, like I know.
Uplifts. I mean, oh,
uplift.
Tests.
Uplift. Yeah, I've seen so. Yeah, definitely. But don't overshoot the discount percentages. Like you know. Everybody can do like big revenue spikes, and then comes hangover from baseline revenue. So you can actually losing in the process. So make sure that like the offers are balanced around not going away from 120 to 182,000% kind of discount. Otherwise, then you're underselling your economy too cheap.
Right. Okay.
Nice.
That's there.
Man, Admon, I'm going to sound like such a little fucking blonde bitch, but 7 out of 10, purely for the reason, like, the ad placements are great. The game is making a lot of ad revenue. It's hard to say for a game that makes, you know, nearly a quarter of a mil a day in ad revenue, but this day and age, I don't think there's, like, any room not to do segmentation. So basically treating your user base in a uniform way is kind of gone. How I would start testing this is just enabling some user bases that have passed the point where most of the IAPs take place. They are allowed to watch two more, three more, like rewarded ad placements for meat, basically increasing the ad load for people that you know will never make an IAP, starting experimenting around that. I've seen it work. And yeah, there's easy ways of doing it. There's hard ways. Alien Invasion, how they do it to encourage views is that once a user doesn't purchase something, basically they increase the amount of rewards between the rewarded placements. So if you don't interact with three rewarded placements in a row, they increase the amount of things you're getting out of the rewarded placements, for example. But yeah, there's a lot of things you can do around it if you think about it, but like it's still a juggernaut, right? So yeah.
Or you said that there's a lot of things. So if you could boil it down to one thing, let's say the one thing that you're on this game, and what would you say is the 80-20 of user segmentation? What's the first thing that you would try? Or what's the biggest uplift that you would
So what time, like how far in the game do people make their first purchase? Like on average, like when is the first purchase?
Whatever, pick a number.
Okay, yeah. let's say it's day 14, right? So it makes no sense that the ad load for users that are stuck around until day 28 have the same amount of reward in a, like, placements as they do before that place. So it makes more sense to allow them that have clearly said they're not ever going to make a purchase to allow them to watch more ads, because they are more
susceptible
to watch more ads. Yeah.
Find like 95%, you know, cutoff of like all the purchases are done from this point on, and then the rest is going to get segmented.
Yeah. So I have a client, for example, like they segment users. They never show in rewarded ad placements until day 28. But then after that, big average impthou of 7-ish. So, yeah.
Yeah. That
makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So basically find the point where you would expect the player to make a purchase. And if they don't make a purchase, then start showing ads a few days later.
Yeah.
Set a rule like, yeah, I'm willing to lose maximum 2% of IAPs to test out this or to try to make it happen. And then you pick that point, and then that's your North Star
that's
metric.
That's the point where you pretty much like decide that, like, okay, there's no other way to get any other revenue kind of from this user. So the only thing I would say don't do this is if you have heavy social features, which you don't have.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's like your warranty there. Like, you don't really need to care then.
Well, but, you know, 200k a day with a, you know, 7 out of 10 is not bad.
That's pretty good, though. I was expecting way higher. I would say 9 for sure. I mean, like, given the whole kind of team structure, like, how big is the team? And I know, you know, Yuri and Begum as well. And it's like that's kind of spent per day. It's just like amazing. It's really
doing
like
a great job, man.
Yeah,
they're
like less more. You awesome. Yeah, you said it. That's like hats off, serious. Like that's really, really like senior kind of approach to the UA. For this kind of budget, I would expect way more creatives in a different kind of angles. But it's just like, I'm pretty sure you're on top of it already. And most probably focus more on playables than videos, because if AppLovin is the top spender, which is apparently, and I would say 70% of the whole spend is going to AppLovin, then you need like new playables almost every 2 or 3 weeks. That's definitely needed. But except that, oh my god, fucking amazing. Like, really, really good job. Seriously.
Yeah, like, literally, the game's, like, for me, game design-wise, is a representation of what you said. Like, less is more. Like, literally, you have this, like, small thing that's making so much power.
Awesome. Okay, nice. Can I rate you guys now?
Yes,
sure,
you can.
Sure, go ahead.
Long bitch. Maven teenager.
Yeah.
First of all, Felix, I'm giving you a 1 out of 10.
Yeah, but less is more, so he's really giving me a compliment, guys.
Nice one.
Wow, okay, very cool. That's very cool. Jesus Christ, no. Yeah, you can rate us if you've never had that before. So
10 out of 10, of course. 10 nice. Out of 10 every single day.
Nice. No,
in
thanks.
Podcasting skills, analytical skills, humor, looks. Everything.
Yeah, poop breaks, everything. Yeah, all good. Yeah, all good, all good.
Backgrounds. Maybe Matei, maybe you're a 9 out of 10, but
yeah, 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 yeah. I know. All the kids' toys in the background. That's how it works. No. And Sam, thanks
Jakob's,
for coming.
Jakob's really. Background looks like IKEA.
That's true. And oh my god, where's the fake Christmas tree? Yeah, where's the fake Christmas tree?
Are any of the plants real on that table?
Oh, it's all fake. It's all fake.
Oh yeah, they're real. There's the Valentine's bouquet I give my wife right there.
Okay, Jesus Christ. Like, okay, I think that's
all right, let's end it before
where,
my
yeah,
teeth rot for all the sugar.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So sweet. Oh, teeth rotting. All right.
Yeah. My God. Yeah, thank you very much for coming, Sam.
Yeah, thanks
really
for coming.
Guys, thank you very much for listening. Please subscribe, hit the button. So as many as you subscribe, my voice is going to be back sooner. So please do subscribe and then share, comment on YouTube. And see you next time.
See you soon in Istanbul, definitely.
Oh yeah, well, that's true. One thing, we are actually coming to Istanbul. There's going to be a Google event on 7th, but there's going to be a super secret 2.5 gamers event on 6th. So please be, you know, join our Slack and then be patient. We will share some news very soon. Ciao. Thank
Ciao.
You.